Hey everyone, due to a technical difficulty in the recording of this episode, we've had to rely on a backup copy of the recording, which has lower quality than what we're used to for the sound in this particular episode. We apologize for this. We hope that you still enjoy the content of the episode, and we hope to be back on sound quality-wise to what you are used to next week. We apologize, and therefore there's no sponsor for this episode, so enjoy the show.
Mike, it is official. We just saw the least bad contract signing in the last 30 years of professional wrestling. I realize that is damning with faint praise, but there it is.
This and other definitive statements about contracts coming up on the MissBots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the main event.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
So let's just get this out of the way. We didn't watch SmackDown, right?
Nope.
Cool. High five.
Yep.
Raw was terrible.
It was. It was not good.
And AEW was a slight bit of mixed bag.
I feel like this might be your least favorite episode of AEW from the tone of your voice.
Yes, it definitely was. Although, still, head and shoulders better than Raw.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should just talk about AEW right away. Sure. I think that we started the show with a heavy angle with both Cody Rhodes in the airport and all that kind of stuff, and Moxley and Omega being unsanctioned and showing that. I thought that was a kind of a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
This is professional wrestling. We do see a good amount of this, obviously, from the WWE. So I think that makes sense for them to do. I thought it was a good open. I also saw, I continue to love the rundown of the card every single week. Because
here are the
matches
you're going to get.
We know what we're going to see. I love that. I thought that the first match with Sammy Guevara and Hangman Page was very good.
Yeah,
and it was not a typical AEW match. I thought that there wasn't a lot of flippy stuff going on in there that people kind of damn the show for. I thought it had a really good vibe to it, and the crowd was really, really hot. It makes all the difference. It was a really fun match, and I continue to see great things in Hangman Page. And it seems like his character from, I believe, which was some of the early pay-per-views before the TV show started, was kind of getting a little bit of a bum rap, is kind of coming back around, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah. This had a lot more technical storytelling in it rather than just being a spot heavy match that some of the critiques that I feel you were alluding to mention. These two guys are very good wrestlers, and that showed. And yeah, Hangman's got, I mean, both guys, ton of potential. I can almost completely agree with Excalibur's claim that this could be a future pay-per-view main event match for AEW, and I completely see that. Hangman, yeah, I think what his promo afterwards was talking about the kind of losing streak that he was on of sorts, and saying that he's done with that, and he's going to do some cowboy shit on PAC at the pay-per-view.
Yeah, overall, I thought it was well done. It was a good match, and it kept my interest, and I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the women's match afterwards, and it was Shayna or Shana?
Shida and Shada. Try saying that five times fast.
Yeah, I really, Hikaru Shida?
Hikaru Shida. Okay. And then just Shada.
Okay. Well, there's no D. I don't think there's a D in that. I think it's Shayna.
Maybe that's it. See, that was part of the problem too, is that AEW's graphic team misspelled her name on their hashtag. They had it as Shazza with double Z's. They took it down after like a minute of it being on the screen. Which also, by the way, it's either AEW's marketing team or AEW's graphic production team don't also realize that symbols don't work in hashtags. You can't put an ampersand or a dollar sign in a hashtag. It doesn't work that way, and they continue to do that. They did it later on, but I digress.
You tell them, Mike. Once again, we're being introduced to these characters for me for the first time, so not knowing their names specifically, you know, I apologize for that.
But this was tough.
But this was a really good match. I felt that Shayda, her in-ring body language and storytelling was top-notch, absolutely top-notch. Her selling of what was going on in the ring, the pain that she was working through at the end of the match was really, really strong. I loved the cover at the end. I know it's a simple thing, but that really deep cover, grabbing both legs, grabbing the arm to make sure she couldn't reach out to the rope. It's little things like that that mean everything.
And I think JR mentions that too.
Another top-notch week for great commentary of talking about what's going on in the ring, criticizing Hangman Page for not doing a proper cover and being cocky, talking about having to be on top of somebody and really working through a match and being quick and talking positively about people doing a snap suplex and then getting right into a cover. There's a lot of good things there regarding that. I would say this. I think that match, that women's match, could have been a tad shorter.
Yeah.
It went on a little bit too long. I think they probably could have gone a little bit shorter, and they would have not lost anything and maybe even gained a little bit there. I loved Santana and Ortiz taking out the Rock and Roll Express.
Mm-hmm.
It is a perfect example of, hey, we're not WWE, because if that was WWE, the Rock and Roll Express would have gone down and beat up half the roster.
Oh, yeah. It's a common trope within WWE that the nostalgia acts will always get over on the younger generation.
So love that in every way, shape, and form. You had the young guys going out there and beating up some old guys. And it also, with the illusions with the Young Bucks and the Rock and Roll Express, there's tons of those things that are both overt and subtle. And it was just really, really well done. I loved every aspect of that. Not as high on the Awesome Kong Brandy Rhodes thing.
The video.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if voodoo is happening here. I'm not really sure about it. I'm hoping it's alluding to something interesting in the future, but it rang a little stale for me. What did you think? We talked about that in the open about the contract signing. What did you think about it?
I thought it was a breath of fresh air as far as contract signings go. We are kind of pre-programmed to believe that any time that there's a contract signing in wrestling, it's going to end in a pull-apart brawl. And it doesn't have to be that way. And it can just... It can be talk. When the guys... You and I have gone off on this many times. When they don't touch each other, it builds up towards the match way more. It makes you want to see them fight way more when they don't actually exchange any fisticuffs ahead of time. Yeah, they had that backstage brawl. Was it last week? It's not the go home, but you're getting closer to the pay-per-view. Keeping them apart, that's a good thing. Or when they do get together, you got to make it be a memorable thing that builds towards wanting to see the fight more. And I thought they did a good job with that.
They did. I could go without the whole contract signing trope. I could even put it as a taped thing done in a backstage area. It doesn't have to be done, but they did it on the stage. They did not do it in the ring. That's a small thing, but it is different. And doing it a little bit different means a lot when we've seen the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in the WWE. So there was definitely some good aspects to it that I did enjoy. I also liked the fact that, listen, Jericho's an actual heel.
Yeah.
And yes,
and he's getting heel reactions too.
Yeah, and yes, he did get a quick cheer when his music hits because he is a star and the people are look fondly on him, but as a character, he's not being cheered next to Cody. It is being booed next to Cody. And that means a lot. That means a lot to an angle. I think that's a really, 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 really good aspect of it. The less said about the Rick and Morty connection with that match, probably the better. That was WWE level bad, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Some people might think that was good comedy. I am not of that opinion. Maybe I've been too enthralled by what I've seen with AEW so far, but that's one of those things where I'm like, you're better than that, guys. Don't do that again.
I think that if you take the Rick and Morty aspect out of that match, that crossover that they were promoting, then it would have been fine for a comedy. It could have even been a minute or two shorter, the whole match, because it was in essence a squash to get best friends and Orange Cassidy over. But they didn't need that much time, and they didn't need the get-ups. Those three guys are already over with AEW knowledgeable crowds because they love those guys. So they didn't need something necessarily gimmicky like that.
But that's why they did it, is because they're already over.
Yeah.
This is a promotional thing. This is not, I do not believe this is AEW going to TNT and the parent company and going, hey, can we promote one of your cartoons?
Yeah.
I think this is much more of a, hey, we'll use this opportunity to promote our other ventures. And I think this was a pretty bad way to do it. The first thing I thought was of Sting and RoboCop. That is not a thing that I should probably be thinking about when it comes to angles in a professional wrestling show. But at the same time, maybe some people enjoyed it. The crowd seemed to enjoy it near the end, I guess. This is one of those classic examples of not for me, right? Yeah. And as long as you don't do too much of this, I can overlook it. But if this kind of thing with celebrity and cross promotion becomes a thing, it's going to get really old for me really, really quickly.
Yeah.
The Moxley promo I thought was great. I thought the main event was really, really good. The crowd was really hot.
What about the other six-man tag? Elite versus Kip Sabin and Helico and Jack Evans.
It was fine, but this is one of those things that was kind of a pointless match to me. I've never seen the other guys before. I didn't see any beef between them. I didn't see any reason for the match to go down. And yeah, a lot of talented guys there in the ring, but nothing that I can really sink my teeth into.
Yeah, I get that. It was an athletic contest. That, I thought, that match went way too long for what it needed to be. I'm not saying that the challenger or the other team are enhancement talent, because they are very talented, but that match I felt went a little longer than it needed to for being pretty much a showcase of the Elite.
Yeah, both those tag matches, in my opinion, felt like filler to me.
Yeah.
And I felt
like it took away time from the main event,
which could have gone longer, 100%. Yeah. You are not a fan of the finish?
No.
Of this.
I didn't like the roll-up.
I don't know if this could be me and the whole rose-colored goggles thing. I liked the roll-up that we saw in the finish of the match with Britt Baker and what's her name? Riho, thank you. I liked that finish. I thought it was good. It was a small package. It wasn't a schoolboy. And I was very comfortable with that being at the end. I thought it was a wily veteran taking advantage of a situation. In this situation, I think they're trying to tell the story that the Lucha Bros are the better team, but they were SCU was opportunistic. They were a man down, and he just did, Scorpio Sky just did everything he could, and that was his out there. I think that's the story they're trying to tell. I'm giving them a lot more rope than I would if they would have ended a Revival versus AOP match on Raw like this. And that's probably unfair of me, but I'm trying to be really positive about it. And, you know, you can take that for what it's worth.
And don't get me wrong, it was a good match, and Scorpio Sky has proven to be like almost MVP of this tournament, with having to, like, storyline wise step in when he wasn't supposed to be the guy for his team, and he won his team the championships. I don't like the roll-up finish for crowning your very first champions.
Yeah.
Riho using it in a title defense, I'll give you that. It's a defense. You're already the champion. There is no champion. You're making your very first champions here. And I felt like something a little more definitive would have gone a long way here. Maybe they feel like, yeah, this is meant to really keep Lucha Bros looking strong. And I mean, which I would have a hard time believing that they wouldn't look strong in a clean loss, because they're super over with this crowd and they're just fantastic athletes. But yeah, I would have preferred something a little more clean here. And I think that would have elevated SCU, especially Scorpio Sky's storyline through this whole thing, a little more, to see him be definitively a champion and a winner by beating his opponents soundly.
Yeah, you're probably right there, Mike. I think you're on the right path. I'm giving it a little bit more a more positive spin than it probably has. I think you make very, very good points, and it may be one of the first real missteps that we've seen storyline-wise, in-ring action-wise, that AEW's done in the first, you know, several weeks of their existence for their television show. I think that's a fair criticism to say that about this situation specifically.
And remember, we were the ones who were all for the time limit draw last week.
Oh yeah, I think the points you're making about being the first champions, I think the points you're making about that are the strong aspects of that that are kind of cutting through some of my positive spin on there.
Like, honestly, if that was SCU defeating Lucha Bros, and Lucha Bros are the tag team champions, I would have been fine with that. It was the fact that this was the inaugural champions that really is my point to the whole thing. But yeah, that's what I think. But a fine match nonetheless. Like, Rey Fénix just... I don't understand how he does certain things. I just can't think that he's human at points.
Absolutely spectacular. This was not the strongest effort so far from AEW, but I will say this. This is one of the first, and just for I naturally have my phone in my hand. I'm taking notes, but I'm also playing around online. I did nothing but watch this episode. Nothing. And I really enjoyed watching it, and it just continues to be a juxtaposition between watching Raw, where I'm barely paying attention half the time because nothing they do can keep my attention, whereas even when AEW puts on maybe one of their weaker shows, I'm still kind of enthralled. I'm still really into the in-ring action. I'm liking the progression of the feud and the way they're kind of laying the groundwork for things, and I was just thinking about this as they were advertising Full Gear. We haven't talked about maybe going to getting together to watch this yet. I'm really excited for this show.
I am too.
There's several matches on here that I just can't wait to see. And yes, it's a new promotion. Yes, they have not had to put on 5 hours of television every single week for the past 30 years with a lot of the same cast and characters over the last 10. But I'm excited to see these matches in a way that I'm feeling kind of a little bit giddy about.
And they only have four matches scheduled from what I'm seeing here.
Is that it?
Yeah. Moxley, Omega, Jericho, Cody, Bucks versus Santana and Ortiz, and Pac and Paige.
Really?
All four of those matches, I'm all in, pun intended, on watching those.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's another thing that we have to be fair. We're a little over a week away, and they only have four matches announced for the card. How many matches are they planning on having, and are they going to book the rest of them at the very end? That's something we would definitely chastise WWE for.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely. Because what was... was it Hell in a Cell that they had very minimal matches?
Mm-hmm.
Was it four matches, I think, booked for that ahead of time?
Yeah. So
we're not gonna like completely say to the like give credit to AEW. Like, no, you can't do the same things as your competition.
Yeah, and there's other things to do now. Granted, they just crowned their tag team champions.
Yeah.
So they if they're gonna put together a rematch or something, it could be booked there. They don't have any secondary titles, but they have not set anything up for the women's championship up here, apparently. That's a mistake.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely something that they should be better at when it comes to featuring their titles on their shows. So, and there's some other feuds and stuff going around here that they probably could have done a better job of developing, and maybe they should have less pointless thrown together tag team matches. Maybe they should be building to their pay-per-views a little bit better. That's definitely something they could work on.
Yeah, and you know, Cody, I think he tweeted out late last week or early this week, talking about how this week's episode was going to contain a little less wrestling and have less wrestling-based storyline development. So it was, I guess, alluding to this whole running situation of the contract signing throughout the story or throughout the episode, which, I mean, was a nice thing. You're such a big fan of continuing storylines throughout an episode. So I assume that fit your kind of little likings there.
Yeah, I like the setup of it. I also, the audio continues to be a problematic for the show, but yeah. The fact of Shivani in the limo with Cody, it was a different way to do an interview. I like different. I like framing things differently. I like different camera angles. All of this stuff seems fresh to me. I don't like Cody showing up an hour into the show. He's running the show, but he shows up. I hate the trope of Triple H and Vince McMahon and Stephanie arriving at 9:30. So yeah. That was a little bit of a letdown for me, but the refreshing aspect of the way they presented it, it was solid. It was not spectacular. It could have been done better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, you want to talk about WWE a little bit?
Yeah, you know, to me, it's just kind of highlighting the things that the opening of Raw, to me, highlights everything that's wrong with Raw and everything that's wrong with the WWE. They have not referenced Paige with Kairi Sane and Asuka. I refuse to call them their tag team name because it's idiotic. They have not referenced them, her, as the people that brought the person that brought them together or their manager or whatever. It feels like months. It's probably been 6 weeks.
No, it's been months.
Okay.
At least two. I would even say maybe four.
At least it feels that way. And the fact that they would they would bring Paige out to with the most telegraphed and obvious heel turn, even though it's obvious that Asuka and Kairi Sane have been playing heels for weeks now,
yeah,
is just embarrassing. It's embarrassing that, oh, remember that angle we set up and never paid off? Remember when we set this angle up as Paige being their mouthpiece and manager and that did nothing with these people for months? That we absolutely dropped with no explanation whatsoever. Well, oh, that's still going on. Let's just pretend we didn't drop this and we actually had a coherent plan and storyline for the past couple months, and then we're going to finish the angle out. It's emblematic of everything that's wrong with the WWE and the lazy way they book their shows. the inconsistencies that are strewn about the broadcast, and it wasn't well done. It led into a match that did not have to happen. Why is Kari Sane fighting Becky Lynch? Becky Lynch is the women's champion on Raw. Kari Sane is a woman's tag team champions. Have the tag team champs fight tag teams. Have Becky Lynch fight singles people if you're going to have her fight a match. She did not have to wrestle on this episode of Raw. Right? No. So I just find it... It's just so... The matches are put together. They're pointless. There seem to be some... There was some good spots in the match, but at the same time, there was also some real low spots where they didn't seem to be on the same page. Nothing about it flowed together. It was a huge waste of a half an hour of people's lives watching it. And I mean, that's the way that I took that entire segment.
And I want to back up to one thing that you said about the lazy writing. It's one thing to be lazy writing. It's another thing to be lazy writing and also expect your audience to be too stupid to figure out that you're lazy or just not care about the thoughts of your audience, because so many people were like, are you kidding? Like, stop telling us that Paige is a part of their team. She hasn't been with them for months. Like, I think it was Dio that said, oh, apparently Asuka and Kari Sane have no more use for Paige. They haven't had any use for her for months. She hasn't been there. So fuck off. Like, stop telling us that this is an important thing when obviously it wasn't important enough for you to continue with it for a number of months. So fuck off.
Stop telling us things are important. Stop telling us things are shocking and just give us important and shocking things.
Yeah.
Less talk, more show. And they continually have no idea how to do that. And it shows up, it's dripping across that promotion where everything is hyperbole and nothing matters. And I can't get behind Drew McIntyre and Ricochet wrestling a rematch to set up a pointless match in Saudi Arabia. Yes, two very talented people, but what's the fucking point? Nothing. It means nothing. Ricochet loses, Ricochet wins. Who cares? It doesn't lead to anything for either one of these guys. Yes, we had a non-finish after having a definitive finish the week before. Who cares? Who cares?
It might as well be 50-50, yeah.
It might as well, because nothing matters. We will never remember anything about this. This is not a mini feud. This is just a thing to fill TV time and set up a absolutely uninteresting and pointless match. Everything in the Saudi Arabia shows to me is uninteresting. Team Hogan versus Team Flair. Nothing is less important in the world of professional wrestling right now. Nothing is less important than that. And anyone who, you know, talks about, like, if you are voluntarily like, I need to be on Team Hogan or Team Flair, the storyline should be those people getting counseling. Not about how they're going to have some great and important match that in no way will ever be talked about ever again. That's just bad. Go ahead.
I have a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. Well, this is more of an observation that I'm going to rhetorically present questions to you about. You remember from our childhood of watching wrestling, a very prominent manager, now WWE Hall of Famer, one Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart, correct?
Yes, I do.
And what was the thing that Jimmy Hart possessed and had that made him stand out from other managers?
Megaphone?
Correct. That he would yell words of encouragement to his clients.
And often hit his non-clients with, yes.
Correct. So Jimmy Hart was at ringside for this match, holding said microphone, shouting to Ricochet, never once into the megaphone, that its purpose is to amplify voice.
I didn't notice that.
It pissed me off so much. It's like, you just told the guy to go, probably to go out there and not do the thing that he's most known for.
He's also getting old. Maybe he just forgot, you know, the thing that was essential to his character. Yeah, I really think that this show could, once again, a microcosm of the problems with WWE. I text you during this show that the WWE does not need a continuity director. They do. But the thing they need more than that is just a person to sit in the writer's room while they're booking the show and just ask why. So we're going to have Natalya team with Charlotte Flair to fight the Iconics.
Oh my God, yeah.
Why? Why are Charlotte Flair and Natalya teaming, and why are they fighting the Iconics? These are two singles wrestlers that have never tagged together before, fighting a team we haven't seen in months. Why? Why is a heel teaming with a babyface? Why does Charlotte Flair want to team with anybody? Why? And then someone could look at that and go, yeah, good point. Let's not do that stupid shit. Right? Why is Seth Rollins fighting Eric Rowan in a Falls Count Anywhere match right
that
before?
That was boggling.
Why? Why did you set up Eric Rowan to be this monster on SmackDown? With, I guess, thoughts to maybe make that mean something, just to end up losing to Roman Reigns and then have him lose his first match on Raw via forklift, just tired. We saw it once. We never need to see that again. And put Seth Rollins in a match like that. Why? What did that serve? It did nothing. You're going to put them in another wild brawling match in a couple days and you're going to book the same thing on Raw? Why?
You know what? I'm gonna just throw this out there. I'm gonna put myself out there, Kevin. WWE, I will be your Y guy. pay me $40,000 a year. I'll telecommute in every single day. I'll fly out even to Stanford, wherever the hell you're at. One day a week, maybe two. As long as one of them's first class, and I'm your guy. I'm your guy.
Well, and I can be the evolution of that, because I've got a couple other questions that stem even farther from why. Let's start with the whys. Why are the Street Profits out in the ring when they're not going to say anything?
Because because
they said nothing. Why are people encouraging them? Another question. Now we're going to evolve into this. What the fuck does "we want the smoke" mean? I still have no explanation for that.
I told you that last week.
I know you told me, but it still makes no sense whatsoever. It's a terrible catchphrase, and it has no basis in anything. I don't get it. And
it's because you don't watch British television.
I know. And Mike, here's the other one. How desperate are the WWE to get that catchphrase over, which, by the way, is already pretty over?
Yeah.
There's people chanting
it. The crowd spontaneously started that chant.
Yeah. I mean, they're crazy, and I don't understand them, but they're doing it.
They were in St. Louis. They're weird people.
But to have the Street Profits then repeat that catchphrase 134 times, it is so just blatantly embarrassing. The Big Dog. Boss Time. It's just...
Burn it down.
Burn it down. It is embarrassing how often and how desperate they are to get these things over. And it's terrible. I cannot watch these guys. I do not enjoy them. I do not enjoy what's going on. I know you definitely feel a little bit different from me with this, but it's my muting my television for weeks and weeks as they were the unofficial hosts of Raw was the right move for me, because I don't get these guys whatsoever.
Where was Kevin Owens?
Who cares about Kevin Owens, man? He's already failed. He was supposed to be the new Stone Cold, and they didn't put him on television for weeks. He's done. Kevin Owens, they're going to have to reinvent him as something else again.
They brought him back last week to help them against the original Sandwich Club. And then He's not on TV this week, probably because he can't do anything. They have nothing to build for him because he's not going to be on the Saudi shows because he always skips them out of solidarity for Sammy.
Well, they've got nothing for him. That's why most people aren't on the show. And listen, what are the ups here? We saw
No Way Jose's on the fucking show.
But you know, we saw Buddy Murphy on the show. Yes, he was involved in the 24/7 championship.
I'm talking about on the Crown Jewel show.
Oh no, I'm talking. You asking why Kevin Owens wasn't on Raw?
I know.
But you know, Buddy Murphy was on the show. Almas was on the show. Andrade, I'm sorry. Was on the show. So we had some of these guys that we've been told are going to get a push and are going to be featured more often. But Kevin Owens is still in that vein. He still has tons of untapped potential. And rolling out Buddy Murphy and being involved is so much better than being involved in the 24/7 championship nonsense, which is still garbage after all this time. Has never stopped being garbage, will never stop being garbage. And so even the fact that they're featuring some of these guys, and yes, Buddy Murphy got the win and didn't get involved in some of the nonsense, but, you know, it's still part of this universe of just repetitive bullshit, you know, really. And a Sin Cara versus Andrade feud, I mean, is that really lighting anybody up on fire?
At least they didn't 50-50 book that one. I'll give them credit on that.
How'd the match end?
Andrade won with a roll-up.
I remember
the shenanigans on the outside with Lucha Lady and Zelina. It's not Carmella. Catalina?
Sure.
I think was her name. But yeah, and then Andrade got the roll-up.
Yeah, so there's just not much here to get excited about, to say the least. And most of the show is poorly booked and unwatchable.
Yeah. How do you feel about Humberto Carrillo 2 weeks in a row taking on the top champions on the show and losing? Is this a good thing for him, or is this a poor start?
I think it could go either way. I am never bothered by a young person being introduced, being in there with top flight talent and losing competitive matches. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine. I think you've got AJ.
Probably should.
Yeah. AJ Styles and Seth Rollins. These are two high level performers, both in storyline and in reality. Even though I think Seth has taken massive steps back over the last month or so. I mean, it's almost like a different world for Seth Rollins right now than it was a short time ago. So having him be involved in those matches and getting a little bit of a rub and working some strength and showing off his moveset, I think it's a good thing. But it comes down to the end of the day. What are you actually going to do? Because we saw this with Ricochet. When he was debuted, being featured with Aleister Black in a strange tag team, but then going on and beating AJ Styles and wrestling competitive matches and losing them and being impressive in his outings. And now he's just a guy on the show that does flips. And they talk about – here's another one. Do you know that he's a real-life superhero?
Because they
tell you that every 10 seconds. Ricochet is not important in any way, shape, or form to what they're doing. There's nowhere he's going. So Humberto Carrillo, he's just Ricochet. He's just going out there to be a guy who does stuff unless they have a plan, unless they're going to do something to take this guy and then put him on lower level talent, have them beat them, work towards a mid-card title, what have you, actually put him in a storyline. And I have – and this could be the title of this podcast could be Mike and Kevin have no faith in the WWE, because I have no faith in the WWE to plan anything out because they so infrequently do. I was thinking about this the other day. We should go back and we could just go back to like Wikipedia and like results of pay-per-views to remember feuds over the past 2 or 3 years where people are like, you know, just give the WWE time. They've got a plan for this. And you could go back and just see, oh, there was no plan for this.
Yeah.
This guy got hotshot at a title and it went nowhere. This guy got hotshot at a title and it went nowhere. This person, we had a little back and forth with a guy on Twitter once when Finn Balor was beaten by Kane, of all people, on an episode of Raw out of nowhere. It's like, they've got something planned. No, they
didn't.
Did not. And nothing they do consistently should show you that they do.
Yeah. It's not an I told you so thing, but like him beating AJ was pointless on that pay-per-view. The one that was a random match put together because of sicknesses that were going on with people. He was beat the very next night by Kane. And then I believe the week after that again, like,
There are just countless examples of Kofi Kingston. I mean, he loses to Brock Lesnar, doesn't want to get his title rematch. Seems perfectly fine with throwing pancakes the next night. There's nobody mining the store and asking the right questions. It's just, okay, we got 3 hours of TV to go out there. Just do some stuff. And that's why I find it hard to watch these shows, have completely abandoned SmackDown, and really, really continue to enjoy AEW and NXT. NXT from last week was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good show. It had good wrestling matches involved in it. Yeah, are some of the people when they're tasked with talking out there, you know, Rhea Ripley, is she the best, you know, mic worker or the best in-ring general out there? No, there's still some development that needs to be done, but there's an excitement about the work rate and a difference in the presentation and a simplicity and a straightforwardness that is just refreshing. And they continue to do it really, really well.
I love Keith Lee.
Oh, he's so good. So, so impressive. The athleticism from that guy.
And he's just like, I don't know. He has this charisma that I find, and like, he's so endearing. Like, I want to like him. Like, not just as a wrestler, but as a human being. He's just like someone who I want to high five and be like, yeah, I'm behind you. Like, it's infectious. Just the way he carries himself.
And also, just to talk a little bit about NXT, because we don't get a chance to do it because we're always a week behind when we're talking about it, right? We didn't watch NXT tonight, the night that we're recording this. But Matt Riddle lost his opportunity to win a title, right? Mm-hmm. But he already feels like he's back onto something else. He's already back winning matches. He's already back being featured, being talked up by commentary about. Now he's got to rebuild. He's got to get back to that level. There's already a story there. Killian Dane, who lost his opportunity and lost that feud with Matt Riddle, he's now moving on to something else with Pete Dunne. You know, Pete Dunne lost a match to the dude that pretends he has a bow and arrow. I forget his name. But Damian Priest.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
But yeah, he lost a match, but it doesn't feel like now he's not rehabilitatable. Now he's moving on to something else. There seems to be a continuation, a plan for what to do with these people after they lose a feud or after they lose a match. The Finn Balor heel turn is brilliant and perfect and does not seem like something that WWE would be willing to do because they want to sell demon t-shirts. But on NXT, they give a shot in an arm to a character that desperately needs to be rehabilitated, even going back to the friendly confines of the NXT arena at Full Sail. It still feels like we need to refresh this guy up, and bam, they do it. So just everything about that just feels organic and feels exciting. AEW has that vibe. It feels organic. It feels exciting. Even the stuff that I don't like, I'm like, okay, I'll give you enough rope to hang yourself with. Where with the WWE, I'm just past it. I trust nothing. They ended this show with something I didn't watch in any way, shape, or form, and I refuse to watch in the past and refuse to watch in the future with the Rusev storyline. I have not heard anyone say a positive thing about this. Usually there's defenders for everything. This seems to be universally loathed as an idea that they keep shoving down the fans' throats. The ratings were significantly down this week with less competition. SmackDown ratings are significant.
Holy shit.
But that was
those were terrible. I know they were on a different network.
Yeah.
But still, that network is still highly available.
Yes. So they should be pushing the panic button because they had all this you know, new season and starting on SmackDown on Fox, and they have – it's been a damp squib. It's done nothing for them, and their ratings are not good, and they've got no momentum, and they've got competition from inside their own company doing better shows and from the outside of the company that, yeah, their ratings are not nearly what the WWE's are. And AEW ratings have been going down week after week, too. They're not holding their audience, but the show is just so much more engaging and so much better. They got something to be worried about if they don't figure out something else to do.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel with the fact that probably next Monday we're going to have to watch 3 hours of Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt because, you know, this match cannot end for any reason.
So just keep on going, you think?
That they say falls count anywhere, but then they say match can't end for any reason. I thought falls were a reason for a match to end, but fuck do I know.
Very good point, Mike. Very good point.
If you're new to the show, we don't watch the Saudi Arabia shows for a number of reasons. So we're not going to be watching Crown Jewel. We're not going to be giving our predictions on the show either. I don't think we have in the past.
We have not.
So why start now? I feel like people are going to start trying to label us as like AEW apologists or whatever, but like WWE's fucking show is awful right now. Like I had a short conversation with a guy on Twitter on my personal Twitter account. So on that channel, I am mainly talking with beer people because that's my career. And this guy's into wrestling too. And he's like, I just canceled WWE Network. The product sucks. I don't have time for stuff that is uninteresting to me. Like, I can watch NXT for free on TV and I can watch AEW for free on TV. So don't need the network. It's stuff like this is happening. People are getting sick of it. They have options now. And sure, you can say NXT, it's still WWE. Yeah, that's true. But it's if that's going to take away their viewerships of the main shows, the ones that pull in the big time dollars from their networks, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we're definitely of that mindset. And I think we've mentioned several times where we think AEW has come up short and not done the right thing. But we are still in that honeymoon phase. We're still giving them the license to make some mistakes. And listen, the thing with the Rick and Morty, that was garbage, man.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it was uninteresting television to me.
It was unnecessary. The whole Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes thing from the first episode. Unnecessary.
Yeah, they've had a handful of segments that have been total misses. They've just had more segments that have been hits. And if the WWE would put out this Rusev Lana thing and it was just one thing I had to mute my television on for 3 hours, I'd be cool with that. But the problem is everything else is not good too. So that's the big problem. It's not that you don't do – not every show has to cater to me for 2 hours or 3 hours. I'm just a fan. But I've got to enjoy an hour and a half of it, or why am I continuing to hurt myself?
Yeah. Anything else that we need to touch on?
I don't think so, Mike.
All right. Well, thanks everyone once again for joining us. Make sure that you check out our social media and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Spots. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MissSpots. You can listen to this podcast in one of many different wonderful fashions, such as our website, MissSpotsPodcast.com, or simply MissSpots.com. We're also available on all of the major streaming services for podcasts on all those podcast apps, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, any of those. You can subscribe to the show and listen to us free of charge every Friday. And for Kevin, my name's Mike. We'll see you next week. Good night. Good wrestling.